Aspen and the Witch auf Flux FM mit No Dog am Montagnachmittag. Heute Abend spielt die Band aus Brighton im Binu und vorher haben sie es zu mir ins Studio geschafft. Wir quatschen über die Vorteile eines großen Drumsets im Vergleich zur halbelektronischen Schießbude. Wir sprechen über Aufnahmen mit dem noch größeren Steve Albini. Wir finden auch raus, wie wichtig Steve für die Dynamik des Albums, das jetzt just erschienen ist, war. Wir reden außerdem über Crowdfunding und das Miteinbeziehen von Fans, über den Live-Sound der Platte und vieles, vieles mehr. Bei mir im Studio sind Rachel Davies und Thomas Fisher. Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Where's your partner in crime, Daniel Copeman? He's loading the truck.
Yeah, we've left him to do the heavy lifting at the venue. So we just got here. So he's doing the trying to park the van first, which is proving pretty difficult.
Okay, maybe sometimes that's even a harder part, to park the van.
Yeah.
Harder than to unload it sometimes, right?
Yeah, right.
So where are you coming from today? How's traveling been so far?
Great. Yeah, we came from Cologne, so
okay, cool.
It's quite a long drive, but it was awesome. It was awesome last night. Mm-hmm.
So people in Cologne reacted positively to your new material?
Yeah, I think it was great. Yeah,
cool,
it was good.
Cool. And I can really imagine so, because you've had those people in mind when you were recording the album, right? It was an album that was recorded with the live show in the back of your heads, which didn't necessarily happen for the first two records. And it's different in various places, because it seems a little bit heavier and louder and less electronic. And I've read that you guys not only had your live shows in the back of your heads, but you were not using electronic drum kits anymore for this record. And you didn't use any drum computers. That's even more important, I think, for the record. How did that idea come up to?
We wanted to create with this record something that was a bit more human and had that kind of primal element to it. And Daniel essentially taught himself how to play live drums. It was just quite an enjoyable process to work around Daniel with a kit,
Cool.
And it's rather than a machine that's kind of just, doing the same thing and can be quite kind of overbearing sometimes.
Yeah, sure.
It was just nice to kind of, have a more human element to it.
Yeah, and you're avoiding the slave to the rhythm moment on stage, right? Because a drum computer, he doesn't speed up when the band feels like speeding
exactly,
up.
Because, So now we're a slave to Daniel. So
it's just marginally better.
Yeah.
No, but I really think that this can be an important fact for a live show. If you feel a real massive energy from the crowd, and if you look at each other within the band, and you realize, let's play that song a little faster.
Exactly.
Sometimes it just happens because the energy is there, and I really think that's an important thing for live versions.
Yeah,
I really think so. So it's slightly better to be a slave of Daniel. That's what we found out. Another thing that is really interesting about the LP is that you've crowdfunded the whole thing via Pledge.
Yeah.
When did you realize that you might collect enough money to record with one of the most popular producers in the world, Steve Albini? Was that something that you had in mind when you started collecting the money?
Yeah, well, we thought that we'd just go and do that anyway, but we decided to launch the Pledge campaign as a possible way of sorting out how to do it. And it's been a really great experience, actually. I think the people that I've got involved feel quite sort of connected to the record in a way that's really important. They're a part of it, because it essentially couldn't have been made the same way without their involvement. Yeah. So
the plan to record with Steve Albini was made before you started the crowdfunding.
It was kind of hand in hand, really. But it worked out.
Because I thought of the situation like there was enough money on the bank account. You're like, now we got enough money for Steve Albini.
We've got one of those bars that goes up with different producers at different levels.
That's a nice graphic. I can really imagine that one. So then you made it. You recorded the whole thing with Steve Albini, who's one of the most popular producers in the world. He's produced the records that were listened to by generations of people, and he defined the sound of a generation. He's the master of dynamics, for example, the master of recording a band that's super loud at the one point and you can't even hear them almost at the other point of the song. So was that a reason for you to go to his studio or to work with him because of the dynamics? Because I feel that there's much more dynamics on that, because there's much more differences between the loudness parts on that record.
Yeah, I definitely think that was one of the reasons. Mm. I think the main one, though, was really the way that Steve can create that live sound and translate it to record and have that kind of brutal, primal feel that we wanted to have. And also, and the way he works, you know, he is essentially he wants to leave it up to the band. You know, their vision is the band's, and that it worked out really well as a partnership between him and us as a band, where he is incredibly good at his job.
Yeah,
and
I think so.
It's amazing, and yeah, but he gave us the, you know, it was essentially up to us how we wanted the record to sound, and that to make it as kind of a most honest record it could be. And I think that's what his kind of his whole ethos is about, that I really respect. And
sure,
we have a bit of a propensity for adding layers in the studio, like from the last album. They were kind of assembled. We had basic ideas and ended up building them up. And this time we made sure that we were able to perform the songs. Like, we rehearsed them over and over again until we were super tight, and then we wanted to just go in the studio, play the songs, and in some instances just play them once, and then that was the drum, guitar, that was the instrument tracked down.
Totally beautiful, I think.
And it's a beautiful way to do it.
It is, but I can imagine that it must be kind of intimidating a little bit.
Oh, yeah,
especially if a guy like Steve Albini goes, it's your vision, you think of the sound that you want to have, I'll do it for you.
He's good like that.
I would probably piss my pants if he's, you know, I would be like, can't you do like a sound for my record? I'm not able to think of something right now.
He puts you at ease pretty quick. And also we knew exactly
what we had kind of
a very clear vision of what we wanted it to be like. We just wanted someone who could help us achieve that and not really want to put too much of their own stamp on it, basically. And,
cool. Also, es muss super gelaufen sein mit Steve Albini im Studio. Man war gar nicht groß eingeschüchtert, sondern hat sich von Steve Albini eben auch sagen lassen, dass die Band die Soundphilosophie mitbringen muss ins Studio, und diese wurde dann eben auch perfekt umgesetzt von Steve Albini. Und man hat auf dieser Platte, das haben wir auch gerade gelernt, auf elektronische Drums und auf Drumcomputer verzichtet, um dem Ganzen ein menschliches Gefühl zu geben, ein humaneres Gefühl. Und das ist durchaus gelungen. Wir haben es hier mit einer wirklich tollen, sehr muskulösen Platte fast schon zu tun. I've read the word muscles when you were talking about your record, and I really think that's a good way to describe it. It has muscles, that new album. Es ist auf jeden Fall ein tolles Album geworden, und heute Abend spielen sie die Stücke daraus aus dem Benu. Gleich haben wir sie auch hier aus dem Flux FM Studio mit einer kleinen Live-Version eines Stückes, und wir verlosen natürlich auch in Anschluss an diesen Song hier nochmal Tickets für ihre Show heute Abend. Vorher aber nochmal Aspen and the Witch mit Blood Teachings auf Flux FM. Ein Song, der inspiriert wurde durch Hermann Hesse. Aspen and the Witch mit Blood Teachings auf Flux FM. Ein Stück Musik, das jetzt auch nicht unbedingt die perfekte Single-Länge fürs Radio hat, aber darüber spreche ich jetzt auch noch ein bisschen mit Thomas Fischer und Rachel Davies von Aspen and the Witch. You didn't seem to care too much about the perfect length of a song for a radio show, right? Because, there's 5.5-minute songs on there, but there's one that's over 10 minutes, and the song right in the middle of the LP called The Jungle is a 15-minute jam. Do you think that this would have been possible when you were with Matador as a record company? Would they have allowed you to put a song like that on the record?
I think I think they would have, you know.
They're old school punk rockers, basically.
Exactly. Mm. I think they would have
Yeah. They would have like shook your hand, and they'd be like shaking your hand and like, we have great respect for that decision or something like that.
I think they would they know what kind of band we are. I think they'd they would have respected that decision.
Cool.
I hope so.
But I read that it was a conscious decision and something like a plan to put a real long song in the middle of the record. Why was that? To divide it into two parts, or how? What was the idea behind that long song in the middle? Because I think the idea existed before the long song was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we wanted to create a centerpiece that kind of embodied all the elements that the other songs contained, the kind of heart at the center of it all. Mm-hmm. That was what we set out. That was with that idea in mind, but it kind of changed in the end. It's obviously that the Jungle has a drum machine, and it's the only one on the new record that does. Mm-hmm. So as well as embody features of the other songs, it also contains a
past element,
key element.
Oh, wow.
It's got the most electronics on, so it's anything, it's almost like the become a sort of bridging point between where we were before and where we were now, and it's the more shorter frenzied songs that are furthest away from our last record.
Yeah, and that's an interesting thing though, that it's not just a masterpiece, but it's like the essence of the band that is now and the band that has been. That's an interesting thing. Maybe if one has listened to Jungle and likes that song, one is perfectly made as a fan of your band or something.
Yeah, I think if they like the Jungle, they like
One should visit the show if you like the Jungle in the middle of the record. I think that your music has always been or has always had a cinematic quality. Even the first recordings had those qualities that you were thinking of scenes, that you were imagining pictures and images. Yeah. When you were listening to that music. And I know that you did do a score for a silent movie, an Argentinian silent movie. That's so right. Did you like doing that? And would you like doing another film score in the near future? Or is that something that is not as free as your idea of the band? Because you would have to talk to a director maybe if you're writing a score, and he'd be like, I don't need 15 minutes.
We'd love to do it again. Yeah. I think it would be a real good challenge, actually, if we were to work in kind of conjunction with a director's brief would be really interesting. Mm-hmm. But with La Antena, the Argentinian film we did, that was a totally different exercise to writing a record, because obviously you are confined to what's happening, you know, on screen. But it was a real learning curve for us, I think. So we're quite eager to do another one, really, and to explore, because I think we can do it even better than previous endeavours. It was a real joy to do.
Yeah, interesting. But that's another animal than writing a film score for a modern movie, because that was like making the whole sound for a silent movie, or am I wrong?
Yeah, it was essentially, making the whole, whole score.
Cool, that sounds interesting to me. And we'll see, maybe there's going to be a feature film soon.
Yeah.
With Aspen and the Witch's music in there. I think it would be a great idea.
Keep an eye out.
And I really think some of the new songs, they have a certain element of, they have a certain element of feel and of atmosphere. Yeah. That's what I wanted to say, that you can imagine them in combination with films as well. I really think so. So tonight's show, I know that you're a band that likes to play more of the new stuff when you're playing a show. Are you going to be looking back at tonight's show and going to play some of the old songs, or are you concentrating on new material?
We're going to do a bit of both, I think.
Okay,
so
cool.
Concentrating on the new material, but there'll be some nods back to previous work.
Okay, cool. That sounds like a plan. Und wer da dabei sein möchte bei der Umsetzung dieses Plans, der kann mich jetzt anrufen. Ich habe nämlich Tickets übrig für die Show von Aspen and the Witch. Excuse me, people. Für die Show von Aspen and the Witch heute Abend im Binu. Und wer da vorbeigehen möchte, der ruft mich jetzt an. 030 2000 9000 ist die Nummer zum Glück. Berlin 2000 9000. Und wer durchkommt, der wird von meiner Kollegin Vivi auf die Gästeliste geschrieben. So, I want to thank you a lot for visiting me, but I want you to play another song for us, because you've brought an acoustic guitar. No, you're using ours, but I mean, come on. If you want to grab that chair and come a bit closer for the guitar. And Rachel is positioned perfectly already, right in front of the mic. We'll bow this mic down a bit so it captures the acoustic guitar of Thomas Fischer here in the Flux FM studios. And now give me one more little second to get rid of the murder radio compression. We'll do a compression that is a little more like Steve Albini would use it.
He'll be pleased.
Yeah, and which song are we going to be listening to right now?
This is called Dig Your Fingers In.
Dig Your Fingers In. He's in Aspen and the Witch live nochmal in den Flux FM Studios.
As the clouds drew, so the rains came, turning the dark.
of the wind rose, swelling and lashed his frenzied web. It's coil and gyre, and we were in the eye. The rumble, the rattle of everything shaking apart.
And the Witch, and a beautiful live version of their song, Dig Your Fingers In. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for
having us. Visiting us. And please come back again as soon as you're round here. You know where
for
we
sure.
are right now. Just pop in.
Cool, man.
And visit us. That would be cool. And what do you think, Thomas, of the built-in distortion of the acoustic guitar? It sounded great, right?
It was perfect. Yeah. That was a very similar process okay. recording the album.
Yeah. Yeah. it's a bit still Steve Albini-ish in here
yeah.
today.
Yes.
So, thanks a lot for visiting us and see you soon. Bye-bye.
See you.